I think we all, like, the best things that we have in life, we always learn from other people. So, you know, I'm like super grateful to everyone who's been a role model for me, you know, good and bad people in my life. I got a lot of lessons from that. And I, as a result, I became like a much better version of myself. But my message to the audience is like, you know, think about helping others. This is like the most rewarding part of anyone's life, and the best change that you can do in your mindset and the way of living.
Hello, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. This is Nishant, and welcome to another episode of the Nishant Garg Show. This show is for people who want to live a life of excellence, love, and joy. My mission is to bring awareness about transformation and healing. And my job on this show is to invite the world-class experts to deconstruct the practices, routines, and habits to help you live a fulfilled and abundant life. Every Friday, I share an exclusive email to the newsletter subscribers. And this newsletter captures my weekly learnings in the forms of books I'm reading, blogs and articles I'm exploring, and recent podcast updates. And you can find the newsletter link at my website, https://nishantgarg.me, nishantgarg.me. And today's guest is Sergey Young. Sergey is a longevity investor and visionary with a mission to extend healthy lifespans of 1 billion people. To do that, Sergey founded Longevity Vision Fund to accelerate life extension, technological breakthroughs, and to make longevity affordable and accessible to all. He is on the board of directors of the American Federation of Aging Research and the development sponsor of Age Reversal XPRIZE global competition designed to cure aging. Sergey is also a top 100 longevity leader who is transforming the world. Sergey has been featured as a top longevity expert and contributor on CNN, Fox News, and Forbes, as the author of books such as The Science and Technology of Growing Young, and the mastermind behind the online life extension platform SergeyYoung.com. He is passionate about sharing news from the exciting world of longevity. In this episode, Sergey discusses about changing lifestyle, changing diet, vocal yoga, how to solve complex problems, mental frameworks for better decision-making, how to live long, healthy, and happy, how to start as an investor, and much, much more. So without further ado, please enjoy this wide-ranging conversation with Sergey Young. Sergey, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nishant. Hi, everyone. I'm very excited to be here with you today.
I am very excited, and I have been looking forward to having this happy and healthy conversation with you for a long, long time. So I thought I would start by asking you about one of your doctor visits when you found your cholesterol problem. Could you share that story with us?
Yes, I can. So the unfortunate reality, we need to have like a wake-up call, like external shock for us to start to be interested in our own health and in healthcare. And for me, it was actually like two wake-up calls. One was back in 2005 with a lung cancer, late-stage lung cancer case of my father. He survived, but the quality of his life has never recovered. And for me personally, it was back in 2014. So I was just working on my career, you know, all the time, day and night. And I'm the older brother in the family. So starting from 1992, I think, I was the one like taking care of my parents, my younger brother, etc. So I dedicated a lot of time, you know, all my days and nights to the work. And so I haven't seen a doctor for 3 or 4 years. So I went to the doctor and I was like, well, Sergey, when was the last time you did your blood test? And I couldn't even remember when was the last time. So I did a blood test and they were looking at the figures of my cholesterol figure and saying, well, Sergey, we have a bad news for you. You have extremely high cholesterol level. Well, later on, I discovered I'm genetically predisposed to have significantly higher cholesterol level. But, and I'm like, okay, well, this is really bad. What we can do? And they told me, you need to take a medication. There's a special class of drugs which will help you to lower your cholesterol. And I was cool with that because my mindset, my mentality around medication was like, you take it for a month or two or three maximum, and it's going to fix the problem inside your body. So I was just checking with them. Is it just for 1 month? And the answer was, well, Sergey, you don't get it. It's for the rest of your life. Every day you would take those pills. And I'm like, oh my God. So I at this time, I was at the age of 43. I'm turning 50, all right, in a couple of weeks from now. And I'm like, okay, I'm 43. I have another probably 40 years to live on this planet. Well, if you ask me today, you know, my lifespan expectation is obviously much, much higher. But I thought, okay, it's going to be another 40 years and I'm going to live on medication. And I feel, well, I felt that it's kind of uncomfortable for me. I do think that there's so many things that I can do to influence my health without living on a drug every day. So I asked the question, like, is there any alternative? And doctor said, yes, of course. Everyone knows what to do, but no one does it. And I'm like, what is that? And the alternative was changing my diet, taking supplements like omega-3 and doing physical exercises. And I couldn't believe my ears. It's so simple and it's more organic way to change my health. And so basically they asked me to sign the form that, you know, they don't take responsibility for me not following their own advice to take statins, this class of drugs to lower cholesterol. And I just at this time I decided I'm gonna change my lifestyle. So in the course of 6 months, my level of cholesterol decreased by 25%, which is roughly what you will achieve by taking statins. But the quality of my life has changed completely. So I was swimming every morning, my diet was more plant-based, I took less meat, and I took quite a bit of supplements as well. So I was like so happy I've managed to change it through my own actions and my own discipline.
Sergey, thank you for sharing. And I have many, many follow-up questions on this. So I want to ask you about your career back in 2014. What were you working as at the time?
Was it about like how many hours I spent on that?
What was your work occupation in 2014?
Yeah, back in 2003. Okay, so the question is, what was I doing back in 2014? And for the last 20 years, I've been investing. So I was just managing one of the investment portfolio in the very old industries like metals and mining, transportation and logistics, food retail, real estate here in Europe. And it was interesting. I was just borrowing hours from my sleep time. I thought I need to do everything. And I spent days and night in the office. And very interesting. It was super helpful in terms of my career success, but it was like actually against my health.
How many hours were you sleeping at the time?
At this time, it was anywhere between 5 and 6 hours every night.
And what is your sleep routine now?
Yeah, so right now my rule is 8 hours in a bed, which is 7 hours of sleep. And I track my sleep performance actually by using Oura Ring and by Whoop.
Oura Ring and?
And Whoop.
Whoop.
OOP, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what time do you go to bed?
It's usually between 11 and 12 in the night.
So as we are talking about your sleep routine, I would love to know about your morning routine when you wake up around 7 or 8, considering your 8 hours of sleep time. Yeah. What does your morning routine look like? What activities do you do?
Yeah, so what I'm doing is there's a book called Magic Morning, and I borrowed some of the activities from there. And it's literally like two parts for me. One is components of this Magic Morning routine. So like I spend a minute in silence, just reflecting. I spend a minute in affirmations like, well, this day is going to be great. You know, success will await me here and there, etc. Like world of, you know, full of great people. And so the next thing I do, I repeat my mantra for a minute, which is I'm going to be living to 200 years in a body of 25 years old man. So that's important for me. And when I started to do it, I think it was like probably 6 or 12 months ago. I couldn't even remember. Yeah, probably like a year ago. My life has changed. Like imagine, like every morning I wake up and 3/4 of my life is ahead of me. So it's just amazing feeling, completely different level of energy and dedication and level of positivity in terms of my thoughts of the world and perception of, you know, people around. So that's kind of one thing. It's part of magic morning routines. And the other thing, in almost every morning, I have something for me. So I'm doing yoga classes. I'm doing Pilates. I do some weightlifting once a week, or I can go to massage for, you know, once a week as well, like every Friday. And on Saturday, I actually doing like a vocal yoga. When you use your voice to transform your body, it's really interesting school. So I'm singing. And yeah, so like, so what I'm trying to do like every morning, and I'm successful in 6 out of 7 mornings every week. This is really important to spend an hour on something which is important for me, taking care of myself.
What kind of songs do you sing in your vocal yoga training?
Okay. Regrets. I had a few, and then again, too few to mention.
I would love to ask you about your book recommendations. So what kind of books do you recommend to people to achieve peace of mind?
Okay, so book. Number one book is the book from Sergey Young called The Science and Technology of Growing Young. Look, I'm the book author, right? So I'm obviously a big fan of what I've created. And it's been brilliant, like Wall Street Journal bestseller, USA Today bestseller, number one Amazon bestseller in 3 categories, which is aging, longevity, and preventive medicine. So that's kind of a good overview of longevity today, tomorrow, and in a very long-term future. More seriously, well, there's just plenty of books, even in my office here. So, well, let me start. I'll try to be short. Number one, I really like Lifespan by David Sinclair. So that's amazing. It changed my view on longevity and longevity technology quite substantially. That's number one. Number two, I really like the book by Jonathan Haidt called The Happiness Hypothesis. This is overview of happiness, like different theories of happiness. And at a certain point of time, I think he published it back in 2015. It was like pretty important for me to go through that and realize how many perspectives and ways to achieve happiness you can have. I like the book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. The other like favorite book of mine and one of the favorite authors and good friend is Greg McKeown with his book Essentialism. He just published his book in April this year, 2021, called Effortless. But like the biggest transformation I had from just by reading his first book called Essentialism. So I'm just trying to live very essential way of my life. What else? I really like Scott Galloway, the author of the book called The Four, but The Four is more about how big technological companies will transform our life. He has the other book. It's called The Algebra of Happiness. As you can see, I'm not only in physical health, but in mental health as well. What else? Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker completely changed the way I was just thinking about sleep. And it's only after that book, I changed my sleeping routine and I started to like super prioritize my health. Living longer is about having a personal financial strategy. So I like the book by a very good friend and role model, Tony Robbins, and the book called Unshakable. Even, you know, I've been working in financial industry for 20 years and I'm really enjoying it. But even for me, this book was like really instrumental in terms of getting the peace of mind, in terms of my personal finances and defining and redefining my strategies. And I can go on and on, like William Lee, a very good friend, the author of the book, Eat to Beat Disease. It's just amazing encyclopedia, how we can use the food to transform our health. And if you will not stop me, I can continue for another 15 minutes at least.
Thank you so much for sharing all your book recommendations. And we will definitely come back to your new book, The Science and Technology of Growing Young, in a while.
Yeah, like on sergeyyoung.com. Sorry, Nishan, to interrupt you. On sergeyyoung.com, you can just go to sergeyyoung.com and you can download my reading list. Yeah.
Yes, we will put everything in the show notes.
Yeah, it was just like, I think it's more than 200 books there. It's probably more than that. Yeah.
And what does happiness mean to you? I know this is a very abstract question. Mm-hmm. So how do you define happiness for yourself? And how do you strive to attain that level of peace of mind, calmness, and happiness for yourself?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. I would like to reflect on that. So happiness for me is a lot of different things. First of all, it's peace of mind, right? When, you know, I have this ability to switch off my brain. And the importance of switching off my brain is then I can listen to my body. Because I do think, you know, happiness is not about your thinking process. Happiness is about how you live, what's your connection to your body, right? To your soul, to your heart. So that's important. This is one. The second thing for me, happiness is living in today, this power of now. And because like I was always just looking at the past, being negative about myself, like done something not in a perfect way, or haven't done, you know, a few mistakes. Or I also have a tendency to like live in the future, like thinking about the, you know, what will I do there? What are my objectives? What are the mountains I need to climb? And what are these like future happiness, how it will look like for me? So one of the biggest transformations for me was, I think it was Eckhart Tolle, and the name of the book is Power of Now, something like that, is just realize that I need to live in today's moment. And I've developed a discipline to like put myself into like thinking and living in the context of today only. And it's a little bit like your relationship, Nishant, with EQ, emotional intelligence. Sometimes you just use your own brain and mind to arrive to this concept. So I'm using my brain, like every time the brain starts to think about, you know, the past, or to like go to the future and try to live, you know, push my life there. I'm just using the power of my brain to stop myself and, you know, come back to today. The third thing for me is really, and this is where I find my happiness and my mission in life, is just realizing that happiness comes from sharing the best of you, yourself, with the world. It comes from giving more than you take in this world by elevating other people, by making them champions and helping them to live better, healthier, and happier life. And so it's only when I started to give more than I take, in a very kind of broad sense of this word, I realized that.
At what point in your life you realize that you have to, or you get to live in the power of now, not in the past or not in the future? Could you share any memorable story or instance from your life?
I think it all started with Eckhart Tolle and his book.
It's called The Power of Now, actually.
Yeah, Power of Now. Okay, then I remember correctly. And it was back in 2017. I was just reading through this book and I realized that my whole life is about thinking about the future, living in the future, delaying, you know, all the good things to the future. This concept of delayed happiness, like you think that, you know, one day in life you're going to be happy and you don't need to work, you don't need to do this and that, and you're just going to be living by the sea, drinking a glass of white wine and looking at the sunset. So back in 2017, then I met him at LA Summit back in 2018. And I was like so impressed by this man. So it was just like an additional motivation, if you want, for me to kind of continue this practice and continue to focus myself on that. But literally, it's not kind of one single moment, but I can remember a number of events which influenced my desire and ability to live within the power of now. Like, you know, meeting my teacher meditation teacher. It was pretty cool. I'm using nails for meditation. So I'm standing on the nails for 40 minutes every 2 weeks on Saturday morning. And it was like pretty cool. Just this whole ability to like to manage your feeling of pain, your desire to like, you know, live in the future or in the past. It was like pretty cool. Or reading Tim Ferriss and 4 Hours Work Week book was always like really amazing. And it was a lot of fun. So one of the advice from Tim and his books are always full of, you know, great advices. Like, so one of the advice was like, take a piece of paper and put like 5 things that you wanted to do in life all the time and you've never done it. And for me, it was actually going to South Pole and North Pole. Mm. And I was like, since I was a kid, I was always dreaming to go to the, like to these places. Like they're really distant. They like in the end of what, you know, person, where a person can travel and achieve. And I was just fascinating by, you know, these icebergs, this ice, how distant this place is. So, and I put it on my list and I finally managed in the last 4 years to travel to North Pole and South Pole. It was an amazing experience. The other piece was there is just go to space, but I'm still kind of working on that.
Who is your meditation teacher?
Well, just this simple guy from London. He asked me not to advertise him, so I couldn't really mention him. But he spent around 2 years in India, just looking at studying different practices. And very modest guy, extremely humble person. And it's actually one of the secrets of living longer life and healthy and happier life is just if you have sense of purpose, if you serve other people, you tend to radiate, you tend to be healthy mentally and physically, and you tend to be happier and live longer. So every time I'm talking about this, you know, this thing, like peace of mind, I'm thinking about this guy.
And earlier in your conversation, you mentioned about Tony Robbins. He's a good friend of yours. And everybody knows Tony Robbins. At least everybody has heard of him or listened to his audios, videos, and read his books.
Yeah.
So how did you meet Tony Robbins?
I just went to his trainings and I've done quite a lot of them. And then I also got to know Peter Diamandis, the founder of XPRIZE Foundation. And I'm an innovation board of XPRIZE Foundation. It's based in Culver City in California. And I was sponsoring one very interesting competition that we were about to launch within the XPRIZE. It's pro bono technological competition to reverse aging. It's called Age Reversal XPRIZE. And Tony had particular interest in age reversal, fighting age-related diseases, using technology to make people healthier and happier. And this is how we connected. And first time I met him, I think it was back in 2018 in Vatican on Regenerative Medicine Conference, where he went together with another great people. And because of my focus on age reversal, our connection was made. And I do know I was a contributor, small contributor, to the book that both Peter and Tony are working on now. It's called Lifespan. Sorry, it's called Life Force. Yeah, Lifespan is the book of David Sinclair. So it's called Life Force. And I guess they're going to publish this next year. It should be an amazing book about longevity, longevity technologies, etc.
I have so many questions for you on this, Sergey. And when I was reading about you, I read that you consider Peter Diamandis as one of your role models.
Yeah.
Why? Why do you consider him as your role models?
So, number of things. One is he's just an amazing human being, right? He dedicated his life to serving other people. And that's really amazing. This is what I borrowed from him, that where this is where you get fulfillment and enjoyment of life. Just celebrating success of the others. That's like one thing that I took from him. So that's one. Second thing that I got from Peter is just this whole moonshot thinking. So for example, when I had my idea that, you know, I was just defining my kind of mission in life a few years ago, I thought like, I just need to change the life of 1 million people. So I had a chat with Peter. He's like, Sergey, why 1 million? Only 1 million. Go for 1 billion. It's going to be the same effort. but you will change more lives. And I was like, oh my goodness. So what I like about Peter is he always like push you to do your moonshot thinking. So your goal should be dashes, should be impossible to achieve. And from that, and when you start to work from this goal, it changed your thinking in terms of the impact, everything. What else? Peter wrote amazing white paper called How We Change the Way We Educate Our Kids. And it was a few years ago, but it's still like every quarter I'm rereading this. I'm father of four and he's father of two. And it was really instrumental for me as a father to redefine the whole kind of education approach for my kids and share it with others. And I can go on.
How old are your kids?
How old are my kids?
Yes.
So Nikita, he's from my first marriage. He's 22. He's studying Japanese culture and religion. So he actually spends more time in Japan than in UK and London these days. Then Timothy, he is 10. Polina, my only baby girl, she is 7. And Massimo, Max, he's 3 years old.
After reading that white paper from Peter, How We Change the Way, what kind of changes you observed in your life with your children? How your parent-child relationship changed after that?
So I was born at the time where using your memory to have all these facts and figures inside your head was like the source of your competitive advantage. And what I discovered through Peter's work and by implementing this in my family is that right now you can basically Google everything. Okay, so it's not about your good memory and you know, remembering all the mathematical facts and formulas, etc. It's more about your ability to find the source of information quickly and absorb it and make use of it. So that's changed completely my paradigm. Before that, I was just pushing my kids to like learn more stuff. Right now, like a hard science, right? The facts, formulas, theory, and theories. And well, right now, I'm actually prioritizing their ability to look at complex problems. Yeah, look for new information. You know, make a really quick use and best use of this information to solve unknown problems rather than trying to memorize the things how to solve known problems. So that's kind of one thing. Second thing is really like a role of technology. And I'm technologically challenged. I'm always got this joke about myself. Like, and my wife is head of IT. She's CEO of our family, but she's also like head of IT. And it's so funny. So I started to put myself in really uncomfortable position of trying a lot of new gadgets and new technologies. And it was really like completely new experience for me, and it changed my life really significantly. So I'm on the same page with my kids in terms of, I don't know, TikToks, using different gadgets, etc. So I'm like, it was amazing change for me. And also it was amazing change in terms of how close we are, about the level of trust between me and my kids. What else? I'm insecure overachiever as a person, as a human being. So I was always trying to define success as being number one, okay? And it's probably served me well in the beginning of my life, but it starts to work against you from certain period of your life. So Peter was instrumental for me to recognize that you're not competing with other people. Like the only person you're competing with is you. And all you need to do is to be like a better version of yourself in life. And this is what I'm kind of trying to preach and teach my kids.
How do you define success now?
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy to me. Number of lives changed. Number of lives of people that I've made a positive impact on their life on their choices.
Do you have rules or parameters to measure how many lives you are changing or impacting in a positive way?
Yeah, I'm intentionally brought on this whole thing, like book sold, conversation had, speaking, like what are the number of people who are suffering from this particular disease that we and a disease which is we need to fight through the technology or the company that we invested in Longevity Vision Fund. So I'm not sitting with my little impact calculator and counting every life, but it provides important prioritization tool for me. Number one. And number two, like in every moment of my life, I seize an opportunity to change someone's mindset and push him or her into positive trajectory. Like even if it's just like a passport control, I'm arriving to UK and I'm on a passport control and I have a conversation with passport control officer. I'm just trying to squeeze as many kind of good thoughts and information about health and longevity if I can. Like actually, the best experience I had, it was always spontaneous. Like it was Monday morning. I arrived to Heathrow, to London Airport. And again, Monday morning. So the officer asked me, like, what is the purpose of your visit to UK? And I'm like, you know, I'm working on longevity technologies. I'm extending our health span and lifespan. So he was shocked. He was like, oh, really? Yes. And I said, yes. Like, and he's like, you know, what do I need to do to live a healthier version of my life? So I end up with having 5 minutes conversation with him and his other buddies at work. I think they were in the end of their shift, so they had some time. And it was not a lot of people for some reason. And I end up with like, you know, giving the talk for 5 minutes, like what you can do today to live a healthy and happier version of their life. This is one of the most rewarding moments of my life.
5 minute TED talk, right? When you think about complex problems, what mental frameworks do you have? Because in the preparation of this conversation, I was reading about that. You have $100 million longevity vision fund and you have invested in different areas. You are all about thinking 10x, going big. So I would this is my personal question mm-hmm. to you. How do you think about complex problems and what when you face all those challenges in going from 1 million to 1 billion or in any situation, tough situation to solve complex problem that hasn't been solved yet? How do you go through that? I know I've thrown you many, many questions at the same time. Please, you can handle it anyway.
Okay. So how do I think about complex problems? So number one is, oh my goodness, I even forgot the name of the guy. I just want to be grateful to this person. He's the founder of Strategic Coach. Dan Sullivan. Okay. Strategic Coach. So he wrote a book and like one of his like pieces of his wisdom is like, when you face something complex, don't try to think how, think who. Okay. So when I'm facing something really challenging and complex, I'm always like trying to think who are the experts that I can speak to and understand how do I kind of need to approach that. So that's really important. The other things are like more simple. Like, I mean, you obviously need to do like a scoping, right? So within the complex problem, you need to find the scope of your attention now and just solving like, you know, this piece by piece rather than trying to solve the whole problem in itself. I'm a big fan of simplification and it's like really helpful. So the complexity, you know, you can always like try to simplify this. It's not going to be like the full reflection of reality, but it's a helpful way to arrive to the conclusion. I'm a big fan of being hypothesis driven. So for example, when I'm working on solution, I'm making hypothesis what's the solution is. So, and then I'm working in a mode like confirming or reconfirming this hypothesis or find the evidence that my hypothesis, my thought about solution is not really valid and I need to change that. So that's efficiency. This is what I took from McKinsey, is to work in McKinsey as strategic consultant. What else? I think just recognition of like, we don't know what we don't know. And realizing that it's always going to be like pieces of the puzzles. I'm not even aware they exist. So understanding and appreciating complexity of this whole thing and unknown nature of so many problems and or the pieces of context, it's always helpful. And finally, my motto is sometimes wrong, but never in doubt. So I'm really quick in building this hypothesis, working on that. And then my life and experience will either support that I found the solution or will give me a failure and realization that I made a wrong assumption about solution and I need to develop a new one.
What is your relationship with failure now?
Yeah, I mean, this is really difficult, specifically in the beginning like of my life. I was growing in a communist culture in former USSR where failure was not really kind of embraced and accepted. And well, that's why, you know, I've developed this whole insecure overachiever mentality. Everything should be perfect. I need to be number one everywhere. So, and it's only when I started to work in US and absorb, you know, certain parts of American culture, I actually really enjoyed this whole entrepreneurial spirit of America and this whole it's okay to fail mentality. And like, and the most important question is like, what did you learn from your failure? And I started to practice this more and more. And I remember, I think it was back in 2018, I had an opportunity to listen to Jeff Bezos. And I remember his words. He said, well, we love failures and Amazon. We embrace them. And I kind of thought, okay, if this man at this time, he just became like number one in a global wealth rating. And I said, well, if this is the wisdom from this man, I would need to be really serious about embracing and using that.
Would you mind sharing any recent complex problem that you are working on a high level?
Okay, so yeah, I'm not sure to like to what extent it's, you know, people would think it's like complex, but for me, my complexity is from not having one big problem to solve. Okay, so my complexity is to complexity of thousands of small problems, and how you build a structure inside your organization, for example, to deal with that. And so what has happened? I'm running asset management business, right? I'm a founder of that. I'm really enjoying it. So I've set up many funds, including my passion fund called Longevity Vision Fund, right? To invest in affordable and accessible version of longevity for the whole world. So, and I was just thinking like, what are the limitations? What are the bottlenecks that I have in terms of my ability to leverage myself? Yeah, because I always wanted to manage number of portfolios, number of companies. So at a certain point of time, probably 4 or 5 years ago, I arrived to the point there. On one side, I'm really hands-on manager. So I really like to meet like every CEO of the company that we're investing in, every co-investor, spend the time at the like in the labs or on construction sites or in distant metals and mining town when they develop certain ore deposit. Like, so I was always there with people on externally. So it's not that I'm control freak, but I'm just such a curious guy. Like, and I really developed this habit to learn from other people, just spending time with them. So that's what's on one side of the table. The other side of the table, at this time we had 50 plus companies, investment in 50 plus companies. So I couldn't really, I was just at my limit to give a FaceTime that I really wanted to, you know, all the people like companies and CEO and management teams and founders and the clients that we had. So I made a decision that right now I'm turning from being manager of the tasks and the companies and investment to become a manager of other managers. So I created the rule that I'm not going to go externally and meet like a CEO of the company, management team, their scientists, their technologists, etc. It should be my people, guys from my team who would enjoy the beauty of this external conversations. And I structured my life in a way that I spend, you know, 5 minutes with my management team on like every company. And they already know what are the boundaries, what we'd like to achieve, how we would like to support them to grow, et cetera. And it was like amazing efficiency boost for me. I can be more strategic. I can spend more time working on key relationships, strategic issues, thinking through my long-term strategy for the fund or funds that we manage. I actually can dedicate more time to internal team to help these people to grow and become more mature investment professionals. So that's basically changed my life. And we grew our assets under management by a factor of 3 to 4 in this score, simply because I this is what I thought. And it was like a decision that...
And I want to ask you more about the Longevity Vision Fund. Can you describe in detail what does this fund do in the real world?
So the mission of Longevity Vision Fund is to bring affordable and accessible version of healthcare to the world. So that's a tool for us to change 1 billion lives. So, and the way we do it, we just support scientists and entrepreneurs who are bringing much more data-driven, technology-based version of healthcare to the world. And we invest in so many things within the near horizon of longevity innovation. This is the term that I used in the book. So near horizon of longevity innovation, these are all technologies which will be available to us in the next 5, 10, 15 years. And they will dramatically change our ability to manage our health and to extend our lifespan and health span well beyond 100 or even 120 years that we currently have. So we invest in gene editing and gene therapy. We invest in DIY diagnostic. We invest in use of artificial intelligence for diagnostic and drug discovery. We invest in organ regenerations like technologies like stem cells or our ability to regrow organs inside our bodies. We look at creating longevity and appeal, new class of drugs, which will help us to extend our health span and lifespan and focus on fighting aging in its core rather than individual disease. So this is what we do, and it's like just really exciting place to be, and you feel that you do a lot of great things for the world. Like the average technology that we would invest in will bring huge efficiency gain against current health practice or like medical intervention which exists. And sometimes it's efficiency gain, it's improvement against the current practice by 10, 20, not percent, but times.
What advice would you give to someone who is just starting their learning or career in investing, like me? You know, somebody wants to be an investor and they have to start from somewhere. So what advice or recommendation would you have?
Yeah, so what would I say? Number one, I don't remember who told me that. Was it Ray Dalio or someone else?
Ben Bernanke.
Yeah, I think it was Ben Bernanke. Said if you, so first of all, just recognize your first investment experience is very likely to be a failure, okay? So that means that you need to experiment with as smallest amount of money as you can, okay? So this is like super important. Your first deals, your first investment decisions, very likely to be a failure. So you need to recognize that. So, but also it's important to recognize that learning through your own investing, through your success and failure, is like the best way to learn. So minimize your initial tickets and do simple things like, you know, buy equities, right? Or, you know, buy crypto. I mean, if you're trying to discover the crypto world for yourself. And the quote was like, if you're going to make mistakes, do simple mistakes. So like, don't try to like over-engineer this whole thing. I mean, if you like particular sector, just kind of buy few shares of the companies that you really like it. And then once you start to own the portfolio of the companies in this sector, your learning will exponentially increase because you're going to be reading the reports. You're going to be listening to this company management presentation, their strategic updates, etc. So you'll become just, so investing is just important tool, not only to make money in the long run, but also to learn and to educate yourself. So what I really like when I try to get into a particular sector, what I do, I just look at like top five companies in the sector. I buy really like small number of shares and I start to follow them. How am my portfolio doing? Why company X is doing better than company Z, right? And I was like, it's just amazing, really, really amazing tool. The other advice, like diversify. Never do like a single huge bet. Because the problem with single huge bet, I mean, it can be a failure and then you can lose all your money. So like the level of diversification, you need to have your like 5, 10, 20 things that you invest in. And in addition to learning, it just from risk perspective, this is just much, much better.
We can have another podcast on how to invest money.
Exactly.
And I think this is the right time to talk about your new book, The Science and Technology of Growing Young, 10 Simple Principles of a Healthy Diet. Why did you write this book?
So the book is really the overview of technologies that we're going to see in three following horizons. So the book called The Science and Technology of Growing Young, it's been published literally a couple of months ago. And so I'm really thinking about longevity technologies and evolution of it in three horizons. One is what we can do now to live longer. What we can do today to add another 10, 20 healthy and happy years to our life. And this combination of, you know, current technology, like using the power of wearables, diagnostic, I call it in the book DIY diagnostic, the diagnostic which comes to our home, and some lifestyle choices that are like super important, like diet, physical exercise, sleep, mindfulness, meditation, etc. So that's the kind of now horizon. So then, and like this separate chapter in the book dedicated only to this subject, it and this is twice as long as any other chapter on the book. It's, I think it's 35, 40 pages. And I call it 10 longevity choices for today. So the main body of the book is about near horizon of longevity innovations. These are the technologies and scientific discoveries which will be available to all of us in the next 5, 10, 15 years. And I'm talking about gene editing, gene therapy, organ regeneration, longevity and appeal, etc. And there's so many exciting things happening in those fields that I really wanted to share with the reader the exciting outlook for the future and give them another reason to stay on longevity bridge, to be as healthy and happy as possible in the next 10, 20 years. So you can then enjoy the benefit of all these technologies, which will be available to us in a couple of decades. And then finally, I also wanted to provide the outlook about how we all gonna live in 50 years from now within the far horizon of longevity innovations. And I'm talking about a completely different world where we will combine man and machine, where we will have our brain integrated with a computer. We can use robotic or virtual avatars, where we'll have the concept called Internet of Bodies on the planet. Similar to Internet of Things, we all, our bodies and our brains going to be interconnected. Artificial intelligence will help us to monitor and manage our health. And we're going to be using like nanobots, which, you know, will be floating like in our blood and fight cancer cells. There's so many great things which are there. But and finally, the last chapter of the book is about the ethics of living longer. I call it morality of immortality. In fact, I just published my TEDx talk on this topic. It's called Morality of Immortality by Sergey Young. So when I talk about the ethical choices, how do we need to change the world for us to embrace idea of longer living? Like solving inequality gap, redefining our relationship with Mother Nature, changing social constructs, etc. So it's a very exciting topic. I do believe that for us to enjoy our longer life, we need to work not only on science, not only on technology, but also on ethics and society and regulation.
If my understanding is correct, we are talking about the quality, living longer and still have quality of life, not just living longer just for the sake of living longer.
Yeah, of course. Like no one is interested in having like extra 10, 20 years of your life if they're like really low quality years.
That's true. Very true. Very true. And what is your relationship with Mother Nature?
I was so focused on my career. So I've never before turning, you know, 43, 45, I've never had a chance to develop this relationship. So I was just living in this urban world in the big cities and just kind of enjoying myself. And Mother Nature was literally like, I had not a lot of interest in that. But then when I started to like work in the field of longevity and taking care of my own health and helping other people to do that, I was really amazed to just what I discovered in the Mother Nature. So I really like walking in the parks by the river, spend time with kids and Mother Nature, help all of us, starting from my family, to have more balanced relationship with Mother Nature, like solving the waste problem, protecting species or forest. And we rent a house next to the big field. So I actually managed to build my own garden. And it was like so beautiful. So I have like oaks there, apple trees, cherry trees, pines. Oh, what else? I couldn't even recall in English, all the name of, all these trees that I have. Like, I'm so in love with my garden.
Do you have any advice for your younger self? You're almost going to be 50 on October 25th, if I remember correctly. Yeah. So any advice to your younger self, let's say to your 40-year-old self?
Yeah, so I think like, and I'm not really unusual on this advice, like be brave, think bold. So that's for sure. Sometimes we're like really afraid, like what other people would think of us? What if I failed? Just, you shouldn't care. We're all going to die sooner or later. Yeah, I'm working on the mission for us to die later, right? In a healthy state. But in the end of the day, we overestimating our importance in the process of human evolution. So this is your life, right? And I would rather regret about things that I've done rather than about the things that I haven't done.
Someone listening to this podcast right now want to make a choice right now to live a longer quality life, what changes they can make in their day-to-day life right
yeah
now.
Like, so I call it 10 longevity choices, or I mean, if you don't want to buy the book, go to sergeyyoung.com and download the infographics from there about 10 longevity choices, diet, supplements, even like healthy habits for kids. So five things that we all can do today. Number one, recognize the importance of medical screening. Early diagnostic of cancer, heart disease, diabetes is just a way for us to live longer and actually spend less time and money on our health. So that's important.
And I would like to stress upon the medical diagnosis, because my elder brother died due to blood cancer in just 2 months of diagnosis. I highly stress on that.
Yeah, so recovery rates for stage 4 cancer, which is late stage cancer, is anywhere between like 10, 20, 30%. But if you catch cancer at early stage, your recovery rates might be up to 90 or even 100%, depending on the cancer type. So this is like super important. Second thing is making responsible choices. Don't die stupid, as I say. Don't do tobacco smoking. Always use a seatbelt. Don't ride a motorcycle. Drive the car. So, this is like riding motorcycle is 17 times more dangerous than driving the car. 17 times in terms of mortality rate. Like, why on earth you should be using that, right? So the third thing is about diet, is about decreasing the caloric intake of your food, which means being mostly plant-based. I mean, you don't need to be religious about becoming vegan or vegetarian. Thought I do have a lot of sympathy about this choice, but like just reducing in like fish and meat protein and bring more vegetables on your table to your diet is like really important. Fasting is also a very interesting part of this number three of the diet, and I'm fasting for 36 hours every week, Monday evening to Wednesday morning. So I'm speaking to you right now. I already done 24 hours of fasting because we're doing this podcast episode on Tuesday. So it's only tomorrow morning when I'll have my food. And it's been amazing.
How do you get energy? How do you get energy when you're fasting for that long?
Well, on one side, you're full of energy because of the lightness, right? You become pretty light and you don't need to spend this whole energy on like processing this whole food one side. On the other side, I'm just not planning, heavy physical exercises and something which would require a lot of energy in the physical terms for that day, for Tuesday. Like I can do speaking, no problem, but like, doing a marathon or like heavy exercise is obviously, more difficult.
So what physical and mental benefits do you see after 36 hours of fasting?
Yeah, so I mean, you're becoming lighter, you're full of energy, you're just becoming healthier, like the health of your skin, the way you look, like the level of, you radiate with the energy and desire to live.
You definitely look like 32.
Yeah, and it's very detoxing. It actually helps your body to like detox itself.
So how should people approach your book? What should they expect and how should they read?
Yeah. So, and by the way, two other things is it's importance of physical exercise. This is number four. And number five is peace of mind that we discussed today with you, which is sleep, mindfulness, meditation, sense of purpose, all those things. So I do think people need to start from the future. We need to understand, like, why are we living? What we should expect in the next 5, 10, 15 years within the longevity revolution concept? And why live longer? So that's kind of first thing. And second thing is just going through all these technologies like gene editing, gene therapy, longevity in the pill, DIY diagnostic that is available now and will be more widely available in the future. And so then they will go through this far horizon of longevity innovation, right? This kind of human avatars, human brain AI integration and the ethics of immortality. And the final piece is bonus chapter about our 10 longevity choices today. The easiest way to connect with me, so the book is called The Science and Technology of Growing Young. It's available everywhere. If you buy the book, claim the order from sergeyyoung.com because then you'll have the access to Longevity Academy, free Longevity Academy, which is video academy that I've done. It's 12 videos, 10 minutes each, and two other books, like one about diet, the other one about healthy habits for our kids. And that's it. Go to sergeyyoung.com, sign up for our newsletters. We're translating science into simple stories, and it's really exciting to monitor and absorb what is happening in the world of healthcare, science, and technology.
The term longevity has come up millions of times in our conversation. What does that mean in a layman term?
Yeah, so longevity, I have like super broad definition of longevity. Whatever increased the average lifespan and health span on Earth is longevity for me. In a nutshell, it's just our ability to enjoy our life for longer and being in a healthy and happy state.
That makes sense. Got it. And you have coached everyone from wonderful housekeeping lady to your wonderful housekeeping lady to Forbes billionaires.
Yeah.
And you have gotten many amazing feedback from them. So could you share any one or two feedbacks that you have gotten from them that you would have taken and improved the quality of your life and others?
Yeah, really, I've been able to save so many lives by doing one simple thing, just pushing people to do their medical screening. You couldn't even imagine. I got so many calls like, Sergey, you saved my life. And it's all the same story. I've discovered I have early stage cancer. Because it was early stage, I've been able to treat it. And I'm fully recovered. The quality of my life is the same. Thank you very much from, you know, all my family, my kids, from my partner. And it feels so rewarding.
And is there anything you want to say to your loved ones, to your mentors, or anything that you want to say to them right now on this podcast if they happen to listen to this podcast?
Yeah, I think we all, like the best things that we have in life, we always learn from other people. So, you know, I'm like super grateful to everyone who's been a role model for me. You know, good and bad people in my life, I got a lot of lessons from that. And I, as a result, I became like a much better version of myself. But my message to the audience is like, you know, think about helping others. This is like the most rewarding part of anyone's life. And the best change that you can do in your mindset and the way of living.
Thank you so much, Sergey, for sharing all this information. Last but not the least, anything we should have talked about and we didn't talk about you want to share?
Well, I think health is always important, but never urgent. So I want all of us to think that health is both urgent and important. So the time to act is now. It's time to take responsibility for your own health and health of our planet, by the way.
This is a reminder to me. I've been delaying my dental appointment for some time. So I need to go do my dental appointment.
Do it.
Thank you so much, Sergey. It has been a beautiful conversation with you. And we will put all the links in the show notes at nishantgarg.me. And people can find you at Sergey Young, S-E-R-G-E-Y-Y-U-N-G. I will put everything in the show notes. So thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Nishant. Thanks, everyone. Stay healthy and happy.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this podcast episode today. If you did enjoy this, please subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, or you can visit https://nishantgarg.me, nishantgarg.me. You can also share this episode with your loved ones to help them live a fulfilled life. You are not alone in this journey. We all struggle in life. There is no shame in talking about it. I go through my highs and lows. I get depressed, and these practices help me in living a resilient life. You can also do this. You've got this. Don't judge yourself. You are doing the best you can. And thank you so much again.